Okay, this Shabbos we're going to have the wonderful pleasure of reading Parshas Balak, which of course right away raises the question. It seems strange to call a Parsha Balak after a Rasha like Balak. Why does that become the name for the Parsha? So the Birkas Avram explains that you have to understand Balak also offered 42 Karbanos to Hashem. Balak also eventually fathers Rus and in the future generations, and so he merits the name of the Parsha. Others explain that it seems odd. Avos themselves don't get the name for their parshios. Why should Balak? And moreover, isn't the protagonist of the parsha Bilam? He's the main character. Why shouldn't the parsha be called Bilam? So Rabbi Dr. Benny Lau Shalita explains that as far as Balak and Bilam are concerned, there is only one of the two of them who's actually successful in the parsha. Only Balak achieves his mission in the parsha. After all, Bilam winds up falling and faltering. Balak is successful in thwarting the Jewish people using the Benos Moab. And so instead of serving as a leader to the nations, Bilam becomes a kli to be used and later abused by them. And so the parsha gets known by the one who's successful, even if it's successful or not. In the midst of the parsha, Bilam is instructed not to go with the people, and then eventually he goes and he rides on his donkey, and he gets into a discussion after the donkey crushes his foot, and the Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'ason, and one of the more exciting supernatural events of the Sedra, of which there are quite a number, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the mouth of the donkey. Now, what was the point of opening the donkey's mouth? After all, it didn't have any effect. Bilam still continues to proceed. It was for a miracle for a single individual. So the late great Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzeira, Zechar Tzadok Livracha, suggested, at least Kabbalistically, that Bilam's sorcery power came from the donkey. But he thought that the power of Kedusha of Moshe also came from a foreign source. And so that's where the donkey corrected him. You, said the donkey to Bilam, you used your ulterior means to achieve your sorcery. But Moshe didn't. Bilam can't get that message, and he sees it as a taunt from the donkey, and he accuses the donkey of making a joke out of him about Hesal Altabi. Your goal is to put me down. The truth is, that's not the case. She was highlighting a fundamental difference. So Bilam goes ahead, and he proceeds to try to curse Bnei Israel. But out of his mouth come a bunch of serious gems. And so the first one that I'd like to comment upon is when he refers to Am Yisrael as Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, that they are a nation that lives alone. Rav Shafter would always turn to us and point out that there are many who run the Israeli government at different points in time who wanted to get rid of this idea, seeing it as sort of a curse that we are an Am Levadad Yishkon. But Rav Shafter would often tell us that Bilam realized that we live and die differently, and we're buried differently. He would tell us that it's not a curse to be different, it's an opportunity. There's a difference. I once spoke about this at Fifth Avenue Synagogue. We made a fundamental difference between being misbodeid and being badad. A mitzorah, we're told, is badad yeshev. A mitzorah, we're told, is subjected to being badad. But when a person chooses bedidus, when a person chooses to go ahead and be alone, right? So then that's an opportunity for him to seek higher spiritual experience. And that is the situation here as well. It's forbidden for us to bury our dead with the dead of the non-Jews. We are levadad yishkon. Rav Shafter pointed out to us that Nehemiah, when he speaks to the king, he tells himself as being one who is distressed over the being in Eretz Yisrael, the Makom Kivrei Avosai. And that is to say that people naturally are attached to the place where their forefathers are buried. We do that because it's uniquely ours. It's uniquely our place, and it's uniquely our opportunity. And that's exactly what was being discussed over here when Bilam gives a bracha to Am Yisrael, and he says, Hey, Mam Levadad Yishkon, in life and in death, they make it their business. Inevitably, a Jew stands out. And then he turns and he mentions that they are a nation, Kararavats Karye Uchlavimi Kimenu, they're a nation that rises like a lion. And Rashi explains that this refers to the fact that the nation rises quickly in order to grab the mitzvahs of Talis, of saying Kriyashman, and of wearing tefillin. And the Maral explains that the uniqueness of these particular mitzvos is the fact that they happen all the time. And despite the fact that they happen all the time, a person rises like a lion in order to grab the chance to perform these mitzvos and doesn't become complacent in the ability to achieve something new in that experience. Rav Yerucham Levavitz Hatzal saw it slightly differently. He said, despite the fact that these mitzvos get passed down generation to generation with regularity, a newcomer observing the observance, like Bilam, who was taken by that fierce desire of that first nation, and he blessed the future generations that they should have that same tenacity and that same excitement when they go ahead and observe the same mitzvah of putting on the talus, of wearing those tefillin, of saying that Kriya Shema. Just like was done in the olden days, they should jump like a lion. Of course, the most famous of the brachos was Matovu Alecha Yaakov. And Rashi, citing the Gemara in Bava Basra, explains that when Bilam saw that the Jewish tents were not mechuvanim zelozeh, he gave them a bracha. And elsewhere, the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis says that Bilam intended to curse the people. They shouldn't have batei medrash, they shouldn't have batei knesios. So how do we explain the apparent contradiction? So Rav Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal suggested that by praising the Jewish home, Bilam thought that he would get the people to stay there. Don't make shuls, don't make batei medrash. And this would ultimately prove to be a curse in a nation that can survive without batei medrash and shuls influencing the masses to study and live Torah life. We don't exist independently. We exist collectively. And we exist when we have a place to learn upwards and on and onwards. We have to seek those things out. So, as Bilam leaves the people, Bilam certainly turns and leaves them with the understanding that if you want to get this nation, this Am Yisrael nation, what you really need to do is get them to be Mizana. And that's what the pasuk says: "Vayisir Yisrael b'shitim b'yachalam lisnosis benos Moav." They were sitting in Shittim, and they went out to be mizana with the daughters of Moav. And Rav Gifter Zatzal explained that the people left the protection of the Anani Akavod, and when they confronted their taiva, which they hadn't been tempted with before in the midbar where there was nobody else, the people failed. And the Rav Gifter would add that in life, the protection of the Anani Akavod provides us. And the Anani Akavod provide, it helps us handle the tough environment that we would find ourselves in beyond the protective walls. In fact, last night I just had the opportunity to share this idea of Rav Gifter with somebody, and I pointed out that that's why even when a person has to leave the Anani Akavod, he has to take them with him. Even when a person goes out into the working world, when the person goes into life, when a person goes on to professional school, when a person goes into bowl games, to recreational activities, today's the 4th of July, we have to be aware, even when we're out in this wonderful country, we still need to carry the Beis HaMedrash with us, and people need to carry a connection. And all too often we forget that part. And maybe that's also one of the challenges of having that gets answered, as Ramosha said, by having Batei Midrash and Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. You have somebody to be mechuyev to. Even if that person is not your Rebbe, that person is somebody that you want to have the connection with, and you want to have somebody who thinks highly of you. That comes very strongly when a person has a connection. V'hema bochim Pesach Ohel Moed. The Torah tells us that the people were standing in front of Ohel Moed. They were crying when they saw all this nus going on. And Targum Yonasan explains that they were also saying Kriya Shema. And the Baal Shem Tov in Parashas Vayikra explained that when something, even something forbidden, is rooted in a good intent, the good can't be ignored. The example he uses is marrying one's sister. The Torah uses the language chesedhu. And so what do we understand about this experience over here? That they were saying Kriya Shema. What was the goal of the Kriya Shema? So the Chardakov Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael of Chardakov, whom the Halper family has introduced me to some of his writing, the Chardakov Rebbe explained that when the people were crying in front of Ohel Moed, it was those cries of tshuva, which is why Pinchas was inspired to take a romach, right? It was cries of tshuva to change their way of life. And that's why Pinchas takes a romach as opposed to a sakin. What's a romach? Romach is a reference to the Ramach, to the 248 letters of Kriya Shema, which inspired him to proceed. And this is why Hashem notes, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv Eschamosi. He returned my anger, as opposed to Hesiris Chamas, he removed my anger. Because, says Rabbi Yisrael, he returned the people to their tshuva roots and engaged in Avas Hashem. And that happened because there was some good intent. That good intent couldn't be ignored. That Kriya Shema certainly proceeded to help them in their tough times. Finally, at the very end of the Haftarah, we read the things that Micha tells us, he gid lecha adam atovu ma'ashem dorish meimach, right? So Micha says, v'atznei alachasim elokech, and walking with the degree of tzniyas. And they say in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, zecher tzadik livracha, that tzniyas is often misunderstood as a discussion about sleeve lengths and who has a right and whether one should look or not look. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you got it all backwards. He explains that anything that's kadosh needs to be covered. It adds a layer of distance and glamour and mystique to it. Says Rav Soloveitchik, if it's something that is worthwhile, it's not only true for a soul of a person, but for the body that contains the soul as well. And he says, since a Jew is a walking Sefer Torah, and just as the Sefer Torah and the things that were inside the Aron HaKodesh were not revealed, the human Aron Kodesh is the body, and it should be corrected as well. V'lo yavo l'roz, kebala es HaKodesh v'mesu, where the Torah tells us at the end of Parashas Vayikra that we have to be very careful in that regard. Well, we also don't want to defile the Kadosh, and making sure that we add an area of mystique, a layer of excitement, that's certainly something that will protect us. Protection is something in our lives today that certainly is something we need for ourselves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench us with the wisdom to understand how to achieve it, preserve it, and make sure we make sure, together with all of Am Yisrael, to achieve a Shabbat Shalom and an achievement of a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha L'Chayei Olamim to all.